Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5-year long study of the New Testament. Today's program, lesson number 5 of week number 41, studying Mark chapter 13. As we get started, these reminders. For all of our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call this toll-free number, 1-855-IGH-6988, to receive a free 30-lesson Bible study series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. To stay current with or to catch up on our IGH 260 broadcasts, you can always access them at internationalgospelhour.com/IGH260. Before we return to our study of Mark 13, remember this. The "you need to move from here to there" divine directive can be summed up in just 3 words: faith, repentance, baptism. Each word enjoins a starting place that never ends. Faith, biblical saving faith, to be what God wants it to be, will always continue in the direction that God wants it to go. That kind of faith never stops. Repentance, the fruit of godly sorrow that leads to salvation, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. That kind of repentance, it never stops. And baptism, our death to self and sin, and then alive to and for Christ's initial obedience. Baptism has never been a one-off act of faithful obedience. It has always inherently called for our complete and our ongoing, that is, our daily surrender to Jesus from that point forward. We cannot love, respect, serve, and honor Father, Son, and Spirit apart from these modeling Jesus elements. As we study the New Testament, we are never far from any text that encourages and directs us to be Jesus' kingdom disciples through these key principles and the kind of God-like, Christ-like, Spirit-like life that they anticipate. They are always there. We see them introduced in the opening verses of Mark chapter 1, and we see them finalized in the closing verses of Mark chapter 16. Here's where we were at the end of our last program. Mark chapter 13, verses 3 through 8, prophecies from Mount Olivet, the coming end of the temple, the disciples' questions, Jesus' answers. The 4 disciples, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, went to Jesus privately to find out what Jesus meant when Jesus asked this question: "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." That's Mark 13, verse 2. The first part of Jesus' question, "Do you see?" tells us that Jesus was definitely aware of the impressive nature of the temple. Jesus could see that. The disciples could see that. It was unavoidably and unmistakably seen by people approaching Jerusalem from miles away. Jesus acknowledged that the buildings were indeed great, but the visibility of the temple was not Jesus' primary point, and neither was the size nor the beauty of the temple. Seen or not, large and impressive or not, beautiful or not, those stones would come down. Everything would be destroyed. The visible temple would give way to something greater, something not visible. Note Luke's account in this regard. "These things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." Luke 21, verse 6. What you see now, the temple, will soon no longer be visible. It would be a hard message to hear. It would be an even harder message to understand. But through it all, God was revealing something bigger and grander than the temple. Jesus would eventually answer the two questions that these four disciples asked. First, they asked, "Tell us, when will these things be?" And then second, the disciples asked, "And what will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled?" Mark 13, verse 4. Note two key elements here. First, the apostles wanted to know about the timing of these things. They asked, "When will these things be?" Second, they wanted to know what kind of sign will occur to indicate, to confirm that these things will be fulfilled. Before Jesus answered those questions, Jesus issued a series of warnings, a list of cautions. Take care that you are not deceived. Many will come claiming to be me. They will deceive many. Do not let what you hear about wars, rumors of wars, and such things trouble you. Those things will take place, but they are not signs of the end of the world. There will be national kingdom disputes. There will be earthquakes and famines and more troubles. Jesus said, "These things are the start of sorrows." Why would Jesus take so much time warning about these deceptions? Why not just answer the questions that the four apostles posed? Before we dive deeper into those matters, consider the continuing context. Mark 13, verses 9 through 13. Prophecies from Mount Olivet. Jesus cautions the four apostles. Jesus prepares the four apostles and others for coming persecution. As just noted, the apostles asked two questions in chapter 13, verse 4. But at this point, Jesus had not yet answered them. Instead, Jesus listed a number of diversions or distractions that might be used to challenge the apostles and others. Those diversions would, if the disciples and others were not careful, interfere with their ability to understand and appreciate the answers that Jesus would eventually provide. But as we move forward into the chapter, Jesus, rather than answering the disciples' questions at this point, Jesus continued to warn those disciples. The first series of warnings seemed to be broader than this second series. They dealt with deceptions and signs generally. But the next series was much more narrow. It was directed to the apostles themselves. How do we know that? As we read through the text, we cannot miss that Jesus used the personal pronoun you, referring to the apostles, multiple times in chapter 13, verses 9 through 13. Be careful for yourselves. You will be delivered to councils. You will be beaten in synagogues. You will be taken before rulers and kings. These things will happen to the apostles directly for the sake of Christ's name and for a testimony, that is, a witness, to be presented before their adversaries. In the midst of these warning lists, both the general warnings to all and the specific warnings to the apostles, Jesus, it appears, pauses for a moment to note these pivotal principles. First, what you are doing, or more properly, what you are having done to you, namely the persecutions that you are suffering, all of that will have a positive impact on the souls of others. That's a very Christ-centric point of emphasis. It was through Christ's suffering that He, Jesus, was glorified, and it was through Christ's suffering that we are redeemed. Modeling Christ's suffering in our own lives of suffering does not, of course, glorify us, count us, to become and or to be the divine Son of God. Nevertheless, we are still glorified, just to a much lesser extent than was Jesus, but still for a holy purpose. And though our suffering does not earn our redemption, it remains, nevertheless, a necessary prerequisite for it. But there's another benefit. Through the warnings about being beaten and delivered from councils, rulers, and kings, Jesus taught that the apostles' persecution for His sake, their Christ-rooted suffering, that it would be a testimony to those who persecuted them. The word testimony, a translation of the word occasionally transliterated as martyr, that word reflects what we present before others through our service to Father, Son, and Spirit. Mark, in 13:9, says that you will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake for a testimony to them. Luke's parallel account reads, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Luke 21:13. The translators added the word occasion to tell us that it was not just something that happened at a given point and time, but that it was an opportunity that arose in the context of their persecution. Second, Jesus said this, "And the gospel must first be preached to all the nations." Mark 13:10. This passage might appear to be out of place, a non sequitur of sorts, but it fits with the two segments of warning lists in a unique way. It's an interruption, a pause of sorts, before Jesus continues with another, a third segment of warnings. Before the end comes, the end that Jesus will shortly identify and explain, the gospel must be preached to the world, or, as Mark styles it, to all nations. Physical, political, geographic nations, per se, do not hear and or respond to the gospel, but the people living in those nations do. And that's what's meant here. All the people in the world would hear the gospel before the end comes. That, as we shall see later, necessarily includes the Gentiles. The term translated as nations refers first to a body of persons united by kinship, culture, and common traditions, nation, people, Bauer's first definition. And his second definition, it refers to people groups foreign to a specific people group. Thus, this timing element of the gospel going to the world would have to happen through, that is, by means of the persecutions that Jesus was then addressing. With regard to the placement of verse 10, that is, what seems to be the awkward break between verses 9 and 11, Lane notes this. Mark appears to have inserted it here between verses 9 and 11 to make clear that it is the preaching of the gospel which causes offense and public action against the disciples. A concern for evangelism provokes both mission and persecution. End of citation by Lane. As the text continues, we see Jesus take up with a third strophe, the third series of warnings. The first was general, the second was directed to the apostles, and as we examine chapter 13, verses 11 and following, we see the third segment also appears apostolically directed. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Mark 13. This reminder as we close, to start our free online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.